This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Sponsor. My next guest on Sunday Arts Magazine on Joy 94.9 is a bit of a regular because his organisation does so many incredible things. Although the last time we spoke to him, it wasn't anything to do with the organisation we're chatting with today. I am talking about The Torch. And the person that we're often talking to is Kent Morrison. Kent, hello.
Good morning, David. Hello, how are you? Great to be back on Joy 94.9.
Yeah, well, it's always really good to have you on. Hey, you were on, about 6 weeks ago, and it wasn't anything to do with The Torch, which we'll get onto The Torch. What was it about last time that we had you on?
Well, look, I was fortunate enough to have a work commissioned by the Australian Centre of Contemporary Art responding to the COVID period, and it was a huge digital billboard on the corner of Fitzroy and Grey Streets talking about, you know, in terms of Indigenous and First Nations philosophies and cultural interconnectedness, you're actually never alone. And it was a message for people because we were so locked down and so isolated to just think more broadly around how we are connected not only to each other but to all forms of life, whether they be plants, animals, waterways, landforms, the sky, the greater connection to the cosmos and the galaxy, and just the hope that that worldview would provide some kind of connection and comfort during this period when we're all kind of locked down, to just look at how we are existing in a different way, I guess.
And what was the billboard? Because I used to see it every day because I lived just off of Fitzroy Street. What was the billboard?
Oh, lucky you. Look, it was a photograph that I took during the isolation period. I really locked into my cultural connections, and because of the lack of less people and traffic around, a beautiful Nankeen night heron, very secretive and elusive bird in the area, had come out and was kind of being more, I guess, adventurous with where, you know, he was hunting and fishing, and to the extent that on that busy kind of, well, it used to be busy Brighton Road, he was on the fences there, and I kind of see him most nights, and I took a series of works and photographs of this beautiful bird interacting in a far more open way with the environment. And when I didn't see this fella, I was quite sad. It was like missing a family member or a close friend, you know. So I created a work that showed him interacting with the built environment and how his presence, for me, and you know, in terms of, again, a First Nations worldview, changes the way you see the world, that we are all part of something bigger and we are all interconnected, not only, again, with each other but with all life, and how we need to be very aware of that and to protect and sustain what we have, because it's so important to, you know, the future and how, I guess, we leave the world to the next generation.
Absolutely. Now, the reason you're on today is a wonderful organisation that you're heavily involved in, and I love supporting it. It is called The Torch. Tell our listeners, what is The Torch?
Okay, look, The Torch is it's a not-for-profit community organisation that supports Indigenous men and women who are experiencing time in the criminal justice system. So Indigenous Australians make up 2% of the general population, but we make up 30% of the prison population. And so the program Run Through the Torch is aimed at addressing this extraordinary and excruciating overrepresentation, and to try and find a way for men and women in the program to reimagine and rethink their futures by connecting to culture, reinforcing the strength of cultural identity, expressing that through artworks and through the torch, exhibiting those and sharing them with the community to create that engagement, to create that kind of knowledge and ability to find a pathway forward, but also for the artworks to be able to be sold and shared and to create some sense of financial and economic participation and stability to support that process of reintegration back to the community and to family.
How do people take it when you walk in into the facilities with canvases and paint? What are they thinking? And the people, most of them, who have never dabbled in the art world, what's the, they tell you get lost? I'm not interested. Or how do they react?
No, look, it's a completely voluntary program. So the paints and canvases are already in the facilities supplied through corrections or through a relevant kind of educational organisation like a TAFE. What we're bringing in is expertise, skills and knowledge in the arts. All the men and women that deliver the program are fantastic practicing contemporary Indigenous artists, and we're bringing in, and this was something that the men and women said to me in the early days, they didn't really want to know much about art. Really, the whole thing about is, well, what should we be painting? What are our stories? What's my language group? Totems and what are these stories that we can relate to? And I've never, this thing about cultural identity and photos and images of elders and significant histories and stories. So we build and bring in cultural resourcing, not only about language groups, but about the Indigenous arts industry and about exhibitions and exciting events, because again, the prison's like a cultural vacuum, and for our mob, cultural connection and understanding our identity is key to healing a lot of the issues that we can face and that can lead us to pathways that aren't, productive in the community. So we're bringing in a whole other raft of resourcing. The paints and canvases are there, and what we're doing is really supporting the men and women not only to engage with their culture and the designs, concepts, stories and influences around that, but also to build the artworks to a level where, as you can see on the Torch website, the works are at a high level and compete in the industry on their own two feet.
And what I also love about your community, Kent, is that, and it's a friend of mine who's an Indigenous artist and he's from Queensland, is that there's particular ways that you paint in the Indigenous art world, which I was fascinated, the way that you do the dots or you please explain.
Yeah, it's a really great point. The diversity and complexity of the language groups across the country is really significant, and the styles, designs and methodologies, obviously change from the west to the east, from the north to the south and everything in between. So part of what we do is to reinforce, particularly for the majority of our men and women who are from language groups from the southeast, either from Victoria or New South Wales or into the eastern side of South Australia, is around the beautiful linear designs and geometric shapes and the specific nature of cultural connection. So going from the generic, yes, most people think, First Nations art in Australia centres around dot work and the wonderful works we see from the central desert. But across the country, you've got such a raft of unique styles. Even when you go, your friend, if whatever part of Queensland they might be from, the north is different to the south, and you find that incredible diversity and complexity and uniqueness, which really helps share and express how Indigenous culture isn't one homogenous culture. It has interconnections, but it's so unique across the country. And so that's one of the things we're building into the program, is for the men and women to understand the uniqueness of their cultural heritage and to explore, express and share that with the community.
Yeah. Now, you have a gallery here in St Kilda, up the road from where I live. Everything's around the corner from where I live in St Kilda. And, of course, you're not getting many people passing through it right at this moment for obvious reasons. So a lot of what you're doing is online, of course.
Yes, absolutely. Like so many organisations through the COVID period, we've had to reinvent the wheel, or as the current terminology is, to pivot. And so we've really engaged heavily in terms of digital marketing, our virtual presence, and we've had great success in supporting the men and women and their sharing their stories online, and that's really expanded our audience nationally and internationally. So you've got to look at some of the positives. We haven't been able to see the men and women, obviously, in the prisons and deliver the program face-to-face, but we've formulated alternative means to present the program. It's similar with our in-community participants. We've still been able to manage to get the artworks in and share resourcing, but one of the key, successes through this period is connecting more people to the torch and its work, raising awareness around the over-representation of Aboriginal people in the criminal justice system. And again, you saw the re-emergence of Black Lives Matter and, of course, the issues around Indigenous deaths in custody. So there's been a renewed focus, if you like, because this is a focus that's ongoing. And I think that's drawn people and to the torch and the work we're doing, because we're making a positive impact in this really difficult space, and it's through this, these beautiful expressions of culture.
Yep. And there's just a whole lot of new art that's gone up, and it's called Future Dreaming, the exhibition. How many pieces are in this exhibition?
Yeah, this is quite an extraordinary exhibition. It's art produced by Indigenous men and women artists in the program. So in lockdown, during a lockdown, so you're in prison during a pandemic, it's a pretty difficult time to navigate. But these works were created during this period, and they are about 122, I believe now, artworks.
Right.
Created in prison during this period, looking at the possibilities and potentialities for the future and what the future might hold for men and women in the program, which they've really ingeniously extrapolated to what the future might hold for families, communities, Australia as a country, and globally as well. So there's some quite extraordinary works that came out of this program.
And the other really important part of it, Kent, is it's very affordable, these pieces.
Yeah, look, David, that was one of the key things for us to get the, access to getting materials in and then getting them out again to be able to display. We thought the best way to do that, the beautiful 30-centimetre by 30-centimetre canvases. So they're really modest in size, and they're so affordable. All of the artworks are $200 to $300, the price range, and this makes them really perfect for, a lot of people want to buy Indigenous art and support the torch, and, these make them affordable for everybody, and there's no issue around if you've got space for them. There's plenty of space in your house or your friend's house or colleagues' houses or your business for these extraordinary works.
Yeah, and also Christmas is coming, and or somebody's special birthday, what a lovely gift. Like, one, you're supporting an amazing organisation, and two, you're getting a piece of, Indigenous art, and it's, what a lovely gift to give to somebody.
You look out there, they're the perfect gift, seriously. And as we've seen, and people will see when they go to our website to see the Future Dreaming exhibition, that's just stunning. The men and women have really garnered all of the strength and resilience around culture and this process, and formulated visions that we can all connect with around that sense of, wanting to be back connected with family and loved ones across the country, and this is again globally, to have that interconnection, to think of a positive future. But how might we do that, again, as we started talking about my artworks, incorporating that idea of Indigenous knowledges and philosophies to create that shared future?
Yeah. And I've also got to tell you that the word of the torch is spreading, because a colleague of mine at Joy actually popped up the other week on a Zoom call and said, oh, check out my fabulous new painting that I bought. And David, you should do an interview with this lot. They're called The Torch. And I went, I'm ahead of you, Margaret. I've interviewed The Torch many times over the years. So how lovely that the word is spreading about The Torch.
Look, absolutely, and it's really important. I can't express strongly enough, so much of our work is behind closed doors. We're behind prison walls pre-COVID and post-COVID and in the community. And so building awareness of what we're doing and how we can all come together to provide a really grassroots, down-to-earth, community-led solution to Indigenous incarceration. That word of mouth process is really important. So big thanks to your friend, and encourage everyone to grab a work. Look, the other thing is, it's not just paintings. We've got the most beautiful weavings and artifacts, belongings, objects. There's bush-dyed silk scarves, there's books, there's gift cards, there's calendars, There's a whole raft of ways we can all work together in a really positive way and in a meaningful way to address, Indigenous incarceration in this country.
And Ken, what's the website?
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.